Continuing on in our series here today on the topic of stand. It's talking about spiritual warfare, how important it is for us to be able to learn how to fight the good fight of faith. All the things that you and I are involved in, you know, when it comes to the things of God, there's so many different plates to spin. You know what I'm saying? There's this over here, there's righteousness, there's peace, there's faith, and all these things. And sometimes we can get caught up in so many different things, and we kind of forget that there's an enemy out there trying to attack us. You know, and all of a sudden, it seems like he sneaks up on us. You know, so we need to see him coming. So we need to do what God's called us to do. And so what is it that we need to do when we're standing toe-to-toe battling the enemy? I like those kind of battles like we've seen on that video there. I always like watching that sort of stuff. Unless it gets too graphic, then it's a little bit much. But you just look and think about, you know, what I think about weird stuff is just think about where our forefathers came from. You know, what they had to endure, you know, to survive, you know, in Europe in those days or wherever your family may have come from. And, you know, just the idea of having to do that and deal with all the different things. And, you know, the enemy, Satan, you know, the Bible says he goes around like a roaring lion. So when we make a stand, when we talk about that, it's not about just standing still, but it's about moving forward, making a stand. And that's what God wants us to do. God has called us to make his enemies his footstool. So we need to be advancing, you know what I'm saying, in the kingdom of God, taking more ground. And so we're going to look today at a couple different pieces of weaponry. One of them is going to be the helmet of salvation. Most of the ones that we looked at, all the armor, is defensive weapons. But also, we're going to look at an offensive weapon today, talking about the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? You know, and what is our sword? And we know that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, right? But how do you be able to use that, and what does that mean? So it's not any technically the word. There's a couple words we're going to look at, rhema and logos, a little bit. And some of you already know what that means, but it'll be a good refresher. But then also some people are maybe new to those words. But the rhema word is what we need, because that's actually the sword of the Spirit. And that's how we go out and do battle. Let's read our main passage before we break down into the new little area we're going into. The main passage is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 18. Verse 13 to 18, it says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, from which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that is breaking every yoke of bondage upon our lives. Lord, we want to sacrifice those wrong thinking, those things in our life that are holding us back from your best. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips, and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we do bind the evil one from trying to steal the word out of our heart in any way, shape, or form. Amen. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of refresher for those who maybe have missed some of the series. All these are, you can find them on, well, we have a YouTube channel, but also at our website at rlfwc.com. So week one, we started off looking at what our foundation is and the strength by which we stand. You know, it wasn't about working harder, but to surrender our will to his will. Because a lot of times with our work ethic and the way that we were raised, we just think, you know, we just got to, you know, maybe suck it up, you know, and try a little bit harder and all that. But there is a little bit of vein of truth that we do need to apply ourselves, because Paul said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, but I labor more." But it's by God's grace that we labor. It's not something that we can work out ourselves and just by trying harder. We have to have that fine balance to being able to do it by the strength that God supplies, because Jesus Christ, if we could have done it on our own, he would not have had to go to the cross. Simple as that. But he did go to the cross. And we have to surrender, because surrender, to us, it sounds counterintuitive, but it's the only way that the weak will ever say they're strong. You know, surrender is not throwing in the towel, but it's giving it over to him. So it's not giving up, it's giving it over to him. And also, and we're going to go over this a little bit more today later in the message, but we look at the method of operation, or Satan's MO, because you need to know your enemy. And so what his basic MO is in short term, as we know, is that he's going to try to penetrate our mind. That's his ultimate goal. It's as simple as that. If you want to know just what the devil wants, he wants to penetrate your mind so that you will start believing the lie. And if you believe the lie, you'll start living the lie. And you'll start acting accordingly. And so we need to be able to be aware of that. Week two, we looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Both these weapons deal with our identity in Christ. You need to settle your identity, your supernatural identity. And truth holds all things together, and righteousness protects our heart. You know, what we believe shapes how we live. So the belt of truth is what they would clip some of the other weapons on, especially your sword and maybe your shield. And so truth is so important. You know, we need to live the truth and not live the lie. Okay? So that's week two. Week three, which was last week, we looked at having our feet shod, and we had the shield of faith. You know, remember the shoes that the Roman soldier, remember Paul, the reason why he shared this revelation is that he spent a lot of time perhaps being, being chained to a Roman soldier. And he spent some time in prison. And so he would use those analogies, that pictures in his mind to explain things. Well, when it comes to the shoes, the Roman sandals, what they do, it had leather, but also they would drive spikes, you know, so long down in them. And then when you got in a battle, you had excellent traction. Just like if you play baseball or whatever, if you have tennis shoes or if you have cleats, well, which one's going to give you a little better traction? Well, of course, we know the cleats are. And so you need good traction if you're in a battle. You don't want to slip and fall down, because then bad things happen. Then, you know, talks about the gospel of peace with the feet shod. So the importance of having the peace with God and having the peace of God. Okay, you need both of those working in your life. You know, first you get the peace with God, and that's through surrendering your life to Jesus Christ, okay? Then we have peace with God. We're no longer alienated from God, and God loves us. You know, he wants that. And that's why he went to the cross. But then after you get peace with God, then through learning things and getting closer to God, then we start to walk in the peace of God. And what the peace of God is, just easily explained, is that things can be falling apart all around you. Everything in the natural says that you should be freaking out right now. But for whatever reason, and the reason is God, amen, in your heart, you have peace. Because you do not trust in your circumstances, you trust in the Creator, the one who's going to bring you through. So the peace of God is awesome, and we get that. So it also talked about being ready at all times. You know, we need, as a Christian, we need to be ready. Also, we need to maintain our shield of faith, to extinguish the fiery darts of the devil. Remember the Roman soldier, the shield that we're talking about here, there's several ones. There's a little ceremonial shield that was round, but that's not this one. This was talking about the shield that's around 4, maybe 4.5 foot tall, and maybe 2, 2.5 foot wide. Piece of wood that had been wrapped with leather, many layers of leather. And then what the Roman soldier would have to do daily, he would take oil and he would rub it on that leather to keep it supple, and so that it would not crack, because if your shield failed, the flaming arrows could come through. And then right before they went into battle, they would sometimes dip their shield into water and get it soaked, which sounds kind of bad for the leather, but it's not, because you got all that oil there, but it would actually put out the fire of those flaming missiles, because that's what some armies would do. nothing scares people sometimes more than fire, right? You know, most people think that's a pretty scary thing, especially when it's shooting right at you. And so it was a symbol of the oil of the Holy Spirit and the water of the Word of God. So those two walk hand in hand, and just very simple, you know, things that we need to hold on to. And a good shield will stop the devil's accusations before they get to the helmet or the breastplate. Now, our emphasis that we're going to do today is going to be the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Okay, those two are important. So first we're going to look at the helmet of salvation. And these passage is all one verse, and it's found in verse 17. It says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Okay, now the Roman helmet, Roman soldier helmet, was probably, by some standards, the prettiest piece of armor. You know, it needs to be functional, right? We've got to have functional armor. But this here was pretty neat because they would have maybe fancy etchings in the helmet that made it stand out. It could have been maybe, you know, I've heard it said they maybe had a farm scene or maybe places from the territory that they came from and maybe stuff to remind them of home or whatever the case may be, maybe some things about battle. That would be etched in this helmet. And then also on top of the helmet, sometimes they would put a plume or something on there, that fancy thing made it look real pretty and flamboyant. And so the helmet was very beautiful. It's a beautiful piece of armor. And what that is, it's a picture of how beautiful our salvation is. If you really think about it, how beautiful our salvation is. You know, the love of God and just how important it is that we understand that concept of relationship with God. You know, the Creator of the heavens and earth loves us and how much He cares for us, and we don't have to work for it. It's by grace through faith. You know, and the importance of that kind of relationship, that we don't have to, you know, compare ourselves to people around us because it's an individual relationship. And so the idea of how beautiful that salvation is, and just, you know, the Bible even talks about, remember the joy of your salvation. You know, after you've been at it a while, sometimes you can, how many has ever kind of lost their joy along the way a little bit? You know, you're still plodding through, but you kind of lost your joy and just got to maybe think back and just remember, you know, just the joy of that day that you maybe bowed your knee to Jesus Christ and asked Him to come in and take control of your life. So what the helmet of salvation does is that the helmet of salvation is for the accusations that slip by our shield so their mind is still protected, okay? So, you're out in battle, battle of life, and things are coming our way all the time. Remember, the enemy wants to attack our mind. So we have our shield of faith. Well, sometimes we drop our shield a little bit, and it goes down. Well, that means some of those accusations are going to try to come on through. Well, how many, if you played, you know, like tackle football, if you went out and played without your helmet, what would that be like? That'd be pretty serious, wouldn't it? You could take some really good knocks on the old noggin, right? Well, without your helmet of salvation, that's a good way to get your mind hurt. Because we live sometimes in some painful times, and we have some painful experiences going on around us and in our life. But God doesn't want us to be unprotected. That's how much He loves us. So we need to understand that. So it's interesting that He talked about the helmet of salvation. It calls it the helmet of salvation. Because what Satan wants to do is get his lies into our minds, because if he can control our mind, he can control our life. That's what his goal is. His goal is to control our life. And so what I see is that our mind is a battlefield, and battles are won or lost here. So the helmet of salvation protects our mind so that we don't get into works righteousness, because that's an important thing. Because anywhere that we go, any way that we live our life, sadly but truly, many times, we forget about the grace of God. We forget that it's not by works. Because as we go out into the things of life, sometimes we make the biggest mistake is to compare ourselves to people around us. You know what I mean? Now, maybe you've never done that. So just hang in there. I'll get to your problem later. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of times we go through life and we are going good, but then all of a sudden we kind of lose our way. And we start thinking about, you know, getting into that works things, and it messes us up and it really affects us because, you know, it'll affect, you know, how we view our own relationship with God, because sadly is the fact that we operate in our society on a merit-based system, primarily. I mean, not everybody has that, but a merit-based system. You know, you do this, you get this. You don't do this, you don't get it. You know what I mean? So everything's by merit. Now, excuse me, we are, you know, do it, and we do make this mistake as parents sometimes. We don't mean to, I don't think, but we can accidentally send the message to our children that love is merit-based because of maybe our interactions, how we act when our kids irritate us. Are you listening to me right now? You know, how many has ever felt unloving? You know what I'm saying? So sometimes we can infer the fact, and some people do use play head games and try to manipulate people with, you know, putting a carrot out there, you know what I'm saying, so that they get that. So merit-based is good. I believe that if you work harder, you should get more money. I mean, that's my view of it, if you're a better worker. But, you know, when it comes to the things of God, it doesn't really, shouldn't be that way. So I want us to take a moment right now just to think. Do we think like a saved person or a lost person? What's our thinking process right now? As we go through life, as we go through our relationship with God, as we interact with other people in the world, as we interact with other people in the church, you guys know what worldview is. Your worldview is how you interpretate the world around you. So are we viewing the world around us and our interactions with people, are we viewing it from a position of security in the sense of a relationship with Christ, or are we walking on thin ice? Do we feel that way? So we don't really know for sure if, you know, if we're good with God, you know what I mean? These are nagging little thoughts and come in there, and sometimes we camouflage them and hide them in other things. But see, this is an area that really needs to be settled, because when we think like a saved person, we operate from a position of a security instead of fear. If you're not secure in any relationship, then you operate out of fear. Just like any personal relationship. You know, some people, have you ever had some people that you have to walk around eggshells on? You know what I mean? Oh, somebody's pointing right now. I see that. But anyway, you know, sometimes if you're not really sure, and, you know, this happens a lot in relationships. Some people make themselves a doormat. You know what I mean? They make themselves a doormat because they're so craving relationship that they walk in such kind of fear that they're so worried they're going to lose this relationship or lose this person that they're operating out of fear. And so we can't allow that to come in, because that's what the enemy tries to do. It's those fiery missiles, those flaming darts. So when we think about salvation and how important that is, we usually think about being delivered from instead of brought into. And I want us to see that, I praise God, a saved person doesn't have to go to hell. I mean, that's great. Don't you think? I mean, who wants to go to hell? You know, I don't think anybody does in their right mind. You know, back when I was young, I thought I wanted to go to hell because that's all where all my friends were. You know, but that was this ignorance gone to seed thinking. You know what I mean? I really probably didn't mean it. But I mean, that's just, you know, what I thought. Because I didn't really see the big picture. But primarily, what we're trying to get to the point is that, you know, we want to see the aspect that we've been brought into something. Salvation is not just having to go to hell. Salvation is actually being brought into a living and loving and vital relationship with our Creator God. And we can, in a large way, experience heaven on earth. Not the heaven that we're going to go to. I'm not saying that. It's not going to be that good down here. I mean, don't get your hopes up too far. But I do believe that we can, when we walk at peace with God, our Creator, based on the shed blood of Jesus Christ and everything that He came to offer us, that we can have the blessed life now. And that's something, if we guard our mind and not get off on too many wild tangents, you know what I'm saying? Because the enemy, he tries to destroy it. So it comes from what we always used to say is, no-so salvation is when we know that we know that we know that we know that we're saved. Hopefully that's a done deal for you. If not, it can be. Well, you never walk another day not knowing for sure. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen. That's something that we just need to trust. So, in wrapping this part up, works righteousness is the biggest enemy to salvation because it undermines Christ's work on the cross. Galatians 2, we're not going to read that, but right after Galatians 2:20, that's my signature scripture talking about being crucified with Christ, because it says that if we get into works, it means that through the law, so then what it does, it says that Christ didn't have to go to the cross. Long story short. If we can earn our way back to God, then Jesus made a mistake going to the cross. Jesus doesn't make mistakes. Never. So He went to the cross for a reason. That's because we're not good enough to do so. A little more about the mind. 1 Peter 1:13 says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Gird your mind for action. That means wrap it up. Keep it tight. Don't allow your thoughts to go everywhere. Basically, don't be a scatterbrain. You know what I mean? Don't just let your thoughts, you know, just take you in all different crazy directions. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. Very important here. For though we walk in the flesh, meaning we live in this fleshly body, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You need to highlight that passage in your Bible. You need to maybe make a little card and start thinking about that and reading about it, meditating on it, because, you know, it just tells us how we fight the battle. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we're going against these principalities and powers, these rulers in high places, and the things that the enemy tries to bring against us. Because here's how this kind of works. It talks about a fortress. See, and we're going to look at a couple words here. We're going to look at fortress, stronghold, and foothold. Okay? Fortresses are strongholds that are established in our mind. It's a pattern of thoughts, a thinking that gets developed over time. And it consists of layers of lies woven together. You ever seen a piece of cloth that gets woven together? The more layers it has, the stronger that it is, and it's hard to pull apart. Okay. These lies get established in our life, and after a while, they become a fortress or a stronghold. And it holds us in a dungeon of lies. Holds us in that dungeon. And we're captive. We're captive in our own mind. And it's hard for us to see past that. Why? Because we think that way. One of the hardest things that you and I need to learn to do is see past the way we think and be open to know that we can maybe think another way. Because we get so locked in to our pattern of thinking that it's hard to see past that. That's why we need each other to help us. Because we can't really see the problem ourselves. But when we're with a loving local body, a local church, and we're interacting with each other, iron sharpening iron, and helping each other, then we can start to see through this pattern of lies that's been established. And it's important that we do so we can get free from them. Because what happens is, you don't start with a stronghold. It starts with a foothold, a little foothold. See, footholds get established when we start believing that first lie. Now, that first lie could have happened even before you were a Christian. Maybe even as a young child, something was spoken into your life. The enemy was able to slip one through, you know what I mean? Because primarily, you may not even have a shield yet or a helmet, anything to protect you. So this flaming arrow come in and it hit your mind and it made a little dent. And then through a process of time, it keeps working and working, and you keep doing that. See, it's what happens is how these grow is that when we start thinking about them. Have you ever been in a place where maybe somebody done somebody wrong song type deal? Maybe somebody did something to you, said something to you. Maybe not a big deal. Let's just say it's not, just for the sake of argument. Well, then all of a sudden, that thing starts to irritate you. And then you start thinking about it over and over. And after a while, you've made that molehill into a mountain. That little foothold that got into your life now all of a sudden is a full-blown problem. And you've talked yourself into being mad, being offended. That's just how it works. So we need to be able to control somewhat what we think about. You can, within reason. It's hard. It takes work. You can control what you think about, whatever you put before your eyes, right? Whatever you choose to hear. Those are influencers that controls maybe, you know, what we think about. So there's little things that we can do. So, like I said, them footholds can take years to develop. Remember in week one, I believe we talked about the idea of what it meant to have Satan trying to attack our life, okay? His MO, his method of operation. Remember, his goal is to deceive our mind, and those words that we looked at, it talked about Satan uses that same road. And remember the word diabolo is the word for devil. Dia means to throw, and balo is like a ball. So it's like when you take something and throw it at the same spot over and over and over in the same place until penetration is made. So the enemy tries to come in and to make this penetration in our mind. Like I say, it's already gotten by our shield of faith. And now our helmet of salvation, we've walked in doubt a little bit. You know what I'm saying? So now that penetration's made a little bit in our mind. You know, it's amazing just how that works. You know, if you go to the courthouse, you ever walked on the steps of the courthouse? I mean, they're concrete. I don't know about you, but concrete's pretty hard. You ever know it's concaved in some spots? Foot traffic. Do you ever think your shoes could make a dent in concrete? Well, over years of use and abuse, shall we say, walking in that same spot, now there's a problem, there's a spot there. And see, that's what Satan tries to do. He tries to attack us in that spot until penetration's made, so that he can lead us, you know, down the wrong way, and we start to get in all kinds of trouble then. Okay? So then what happens after that foothold? Then he keeps building on it. So over years of layers and layers, them lies get established and start to form a fallen pattern of thinking. You know what I mean by a fallen pattern of thinking? All of a sudden, by this penetration and by this things that's going in our mind, well, now we're interpreting, that's not a word, is it? That's kind of a word. It is today. So all this information around us by that light. Okay, what's an example of that? What amazes me is, like I've always said this, some people can look at like an old beat up house, see dollar signs. They can take that and turn it and flip it and make all kinds of money on it. And other people say, well, that's too much work. That's just a piece of junk. I don't want that. What was the difference? They could be a family member. They could be two different brothers raised in the same household. One of them sees a way to make some money. The other just sees a way to have to work. All depends on your point of view, your point of reference. Okay? So it's about how we look at things. Because I'm interested in how to train my mind to be able to think differently so that I can take opportunities better in my life. You know what I mean by that? Because there's opportunities around us everywhere. What's holding us back is us. It's our way that we look at things. So we need to be able to learn to change that pattern and break that pattern and pull those apart. You know, and, you know, because what the problem is that we start to act upon wrong information, and then we start to live out that lie. Maybe not feeling good enough is one that gets us all the time. Never feel like we can, you know, you walk into those places and you just feel insecure because you look at everybody else and you just know they're better than you. Or at least you think so. Well, that's a lie. They're not better than you. I mean, here should be our point of reference. God looks at us equally. We're all his children. So instead of looking at it like that, we see it based on man's standards, and that's just the way of thinking about it. So another thing is the idea of, you know, never underestimate the importance of guarding our thought life. You know, how important it is to you to be able to live that life of victory, so we have to guard that thought life. So we are not what the world says, but what the Word says. So what does the Word say about us? Okay, how important that is. Something that, another example of wrong thinking or things that happens is, let's say, you know, a spirit of rejection. That's what I call a spirit of rejection. You know, it hinders acceptance in all our relationships due to wrong thinking that was started by poor nurturing, perhaps. You know, maybe you was in a relationship as a kid and maybe you just didn't feel love for whatever reason. Maybe your mom or your dad felt like they rejected you. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Even if they did, you just got to forgive them and let go and move on. You know what I mean? We're at a different place now. We're in Christ, right? You know, God can be our healer and we need to get that all settled. But that spirit of rejection, I know what that's like. I started to operate that in my life a little bit. So I know that how it made me interact with the world around me. You know, you would go into a situation and you just maybe didn't feel accepted, whatever the case may be. Even though people were very friendly, you know, but yet how I felt is that I wasn't good enough, that I didn't measure up. And see, that all started from a lie from the devil. And that lie started to manifest in my mind. And so then I started to live according to that parameter. You know what I mean? That input. that input on my life, just like a computer. Whatever you put in a computer is what you get out. Well, what happened in my life is that I felt that rejection for whatever case may be, and I don't want to go into all that because it's kind of personal, but overcoming that, what was easy for me was that when I met Jesus, for whatever reason, which is the Bible, I felt accepted. It was very powerful. It made a great impact on my life. I felt that acceptance, not based on what I've done or what was going on in my life, but the fact that Jesus accepted me right where I was at. And something about that experience, it just changed the whole way I viewed relationships. Well, I'm not saying I didn't have to, you know, deal with that devil every now and then after that, you know what I mean? The devil didn't say, oh, I give up, I fly a lot. No, he kept attacking sometimes. But now I had a new truth. You know what I'm saying by a new truth? I had that new truth in my life. And if I chose to believe that new truth instead of believing that old lie, I walked in a different level of acceptance around other people even. Because I looked at it from a different way. And that's what we need to do. We need to get to that point in our life where we see ourselves in Christ and what He's done for us. And we just start to receive it. Because sometimes our receivers are broke. We don't know how to receive. And we need to ask God to heal our receiver that we can accept and receive everything that He has for us. Amen? Because He has that for us. And that's why we need the sword of the Spirit, which we're not going to get to today. I apologize. We're going to have to do that next week along with prayer. We'll tie those two together. But with the helmet of salvation, just how important it is to be able to protect our thought life and everything that God has for us. And we need to get to the place where we can start to trust again. I really feel that's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to my heart right now, that there's people here that need to get to that place where they can learn to trust again. And it's going to be scary because we've all been hurt, but we need to trust that God does have our best interests in heart, and everything that He has for us is great. All we have to do is say yes and amen. Yes and amen.
Yes.
Yes, Father.
Thank you.
Yes, Father. Amen. I'm asking you to take a chance. Take a chance with God. To learn to trust Him with all your heart. He will never disappoint. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray.